Welcome to Believers Faith Fellowship. It's our hope that you will be blessed by the word. For more information about our worship services, please visit bfftn.org. That's bfftn.org.
All right. Y'all ready? Matthew 25 and 20, verses 24 and 25. This whole month, I'm going to talk about the harvest. I've never really talked about money, poverty, prosperity much here at church for a reason, and God's been impressed upon my heart to talk about it. Now, this is not five ways to get rich. This is not 50 cent, get rich or die trying. This is about how to discover the riches that God's put on the inside of you and how to handle it once you get it. I woke up about three Sundays ago, and I got it. I mean, I almost get emotional thinking about it. And for an hour, I didn't know if I was awake, asleep, and I just heard God kept telling me, "Jason, I'm good." He said, "I'm good." He said, I don't care how bad things are, I'm good, and I'll never stop being good. And he said, "I want you to tell my people that I'm tired of them struggling, and they don't have to struggle." He said, "I'm good, and I want every part of their life to be good." All right? Matthew 25, 24, and 25. You guys, some of you may know, some of you may never read it. It's the parable of a guy who had three servants, and he gave them talents. He gave some five, he gave some two, and he gave some one. I'm going to preach from the perspective of the person with the one talent there. All right? Yes. And it said this: "Then he which had received the one talent came and said, 'Lord, I knew that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed, and I was afraid, and I went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, that thou hast, here's your stuff back.'" Got too many thous, these in there. He said, "Here, what you gave me, give back to you." Got tongue tied. Here's the reality. He gave some, he gave one five, he doubled it. Gave one two, he doubled it. The one he gave one, he said, for fear, he looked at the characteristics of the master and said, "Hey, you can take it back. At least I gave you what you gave me back." All right? I want you to write this down, tweet it, text it. If you're texting to somebody right now, text them this. You will either reduce yourself or increase yourself to the level you think you can handle. You will either increase yourself or reduce yourself to the level that you think you can handle. The capacity of your heart and your spirit is beyond your imagination. But here's the challenge. You don't think with your heart. You believe with your heart. And you think with your mind. Many of you believe you're an eagle and can fly, but you think like a walker. Can I say it again?
Yeah.
You believe that you can fly, but you think like a walker. And what God wants to do is give you the mentality of what's in your heart. So look at your neighbor and say, "I believe I can fly." Before you ask for a breakthrough, ask God to change your mind. Can I ask you four questions? Ever get out of something only to find yourself right back into something? Always find yourself struggling? Or you tired of struggling but don't know how to get out? Or you're frustrated because you got a rich desire but a broke account? You ever been there before? This month, I'm going to talk about how to get the harvest in your life and then how to handle it. To get the harvest, you simply sow a seed, you cultivate your field, and you bring the harvest in. But to handle the harvest, you got to have the wisdom to handle prosperity. Many don't know how to have, they don't have the wisdom to handle the harvest. Here's the reality. If you get a harvest with a poverty mentality, you will do nothing more than make Cadillac the number one dealership in America. You all right? Or if you get the harvest with the poverty mentality, God will send you the man, he'll send you the woman, but your mentality perhaps will run them off or make your life miserable. I want to show you how to handle what God wants to do. God wants the body of Christ out of debt. Can I say that again? God wants the body of Christ, I'm convicted of this, out of debt. But not so we can retire early and be lazy. And you go to your mailbox in slippers every day in your robe, just waving everybody as they come home from work. That ain't why God wants you out of debt. Or you can get a jet. What? You ain't going nowhere but to Kroger. Why you need a jet? That's what I'm believing God for. Anybody calling you nowhere, you know? God wants us out of debt so that you can walk in purpose. Imagine what your life would be like. Y'all, if you didn't have the stress of the financial pressure of just overwhelming debt, just lingering over your head, if you didn't have the pressure, I'm going to talk to this side, of impressing people with where you live. We can't have them over yet. We're going to get this and we're going to get that. Then we're going to invite them all over. I'm going to talk to this side right here. What if you didn't have that pressure of what people's perception of you, and whether we believe it or not, we all deal with it to some degree. Some deal with it by not dealing with it. I don't care what nobody think. Well, yeah, you do, because you're battling in your mind. All right? Poverty brings frustration in many of our lives. Somebody say this with me. I'll never be broke another day in my life. Let me tell you what. Broke can't hold nothing. Can I show you what broke look like? The first thing broke looks like, a minute ago, you know, God comes and he lavishes everything he has, and he's here to do as much for you as you allow him to do. But let me show you the first stage of broke. Broke can't hold nothing. So God moving, but you can't contain nothing. It's hard to fill a cup that's turned over. The first thing you got to do is get to the point to believe that God has something for you. You got to be ready to receive it. You know, life happens. We get offended. We get hurt. All these things happen. But here's the thing. Are you ready for love? Are you ready for what God wants you to do? Then once you get ready, you think that's it. Here's what broke looks like once you get ready for it, poverty. You have it, but you can't contain it. And do you know what many of us do? Instead of fixing the leak, we go get more water. Man, I need more money to pay my bills. You'll create more bills for the money you bring in.
Right.
You all right? And so you get more. God, more, more, more. What's the need of asking for more if you don't know what to do with more? I'm preaching to myself. You all right in here? So broke doesn't have the ability to hold anything. Broke panics because it has to spend money it doesn't have. Prosperity sees resources everywhere and is always relaxed. You will either live through the eyes of your need or through the eyes of your faith. Which one are you living through? The eyes of your need is always looking for money, and you ain't going to do it unless you're getting paid. Faith attracts resources. Notice I didn't just say money. It attracts resources. And you'll do something sometimes for nothing, because the greater return is when God says, do this. I don't see the return. And God brings it around. Can I be honest with you guys? Most of the preaching assignments that I have received of my entire life have not been because somebody passed my CD, or you got to hear this dude, like he's in the country, or this little bright skinned preacher at this church. It never came like that. I'm be honest with you. Most of them came through people saw me serving my pastor, or they saw me, I was in relationship with them. And when they looked for someone that they could trust, they didn't just call me to come be their friend. They said, would you mind coming minister at my church? The serving didn't get me paid one dime, but the return was well worth the wait. Y'all right in here? Let's go to my first slide here. What is the spirit of poverty? The first thing I got to define to you, there's a difference between poverty and the spirit of poverty. There are countries that are tremendously impoverished. Poverty means the lack of money, resources, or a temporary lack or insufficient funds. Anybody, y'all, I know, pray to God, none of us are there now. But you ever went to the ATM machine and the minimum withdrawal is $10 and you got $7.58? It don't scream back and laugh at you. It just tell you insufficient funds. That's what poverty looks like. There's not resource available to meet the demand. Now, the spirit of poverty is this. You take a note, write this down. It's a thought that keeps you in lack when resources are available. It's a thought that keeps you in lack when resources are available. It says, don't nobody love me, and everybody around you is like this, waiting to give you everything that they can give you. Yes. The definition of the spirit of poverty is this. It's a paralyzing thought of not having and not getting. It's a mind state that states, my current state, which never changed no matter what. It's a spirit of fear regarding financial issues. You read the Bible from a broke place. You see everything from a victim place. How does the spirit of poverty, you go to my next slide, how does it operate? All right? It causes a person to have an incorrect view of money. Say this with me. Money is not evil.
Money is not evil.
All right. What is evil? It's the love of money that is the root of all evil. All right. Money is amoral. Money takes on the spirit of whoever's holding it. So when money switches to your hand, it gets blessed. You all right in here? Say, whatever touches my hand turns to gold. Yeah. You got your, grab your neighbor's hand. Say, now live life like it's golden. You just touch the blessed hand. Everything you touch takes on the spirit of that which touched it. You all right? Money, how does it operate? It paints a negative picture of wealthy people. It demonizes people who have money. It creates a stigma and stereotype of people with money. They think they better than me, or they arrogant. Look at them. The reality is, how many know you got to guard your influence?
Yes.
And you got to guard your stuff? Mm-hmm. You have, somebody ever asked you and you loaned it to them and you know you're never going to get it back?
Yeah.
Or if you got it back, it was going to be half of what you got, you gave to them. The spirit of poverty destroys stuff. It breaks stuff. And you have to guard that. And that's why people think that you're arrogant. Who's watched the movie Jumping the Broom? Yeah, the movie Jumping the Broom. One of my favorite scenes in that movie is when they picked him up from the airport. And she was mad because her son didn't pick her up. She said, Jason, he had the nerve to come get me. And they drove up on the property where the people lived. And Mike Epps said something I love. He said, they doing good for themselves. The spirit of poverty looked, and you look, you're like, oh, they doing good for themselves. Why do you think that? Because look what they driving, look what they living. And it magnifies stuff. And here's the thing, what you have, the car you have is the one you bought. All right? That's what, money is what you do with it, all right? So you can't look at people and size them up and think they're doing well, but based off what you see, neither can you poke holes in people you think are doing well to figure out, oh, I know, they told me rich people ain't happy. Well, you broke and unhappy. You riding in your car with no heat, cold, and scarves. And they look at them sitting there in that car, they heat working. They ain't happy. We project our insecurities and our unhappiness on somebody else.
Yeah.
Y'all right in here?
Yeah.
Poverty operates by paints a negative view of authority. The man said in verse 25, he said, I knew that thou art a hard man. The spirit of poverty paints a hard view of God, your boss, and any authority in your life. You think authority is always trying to get over on you. They don't respect me. They think they're better than me because they're in a higher position than who I am. But how many of you know a position don't define you? The CEO of Cigna is no better than me. You all right in here? There's a preacher, the largest church in America, their pastor is no better than I am. You all right? Nobody's any better than you because of their gender, because of their color, their skin. Nobody's better than you, and you can't size people up. Oh, when I get there, I'm going to be something. You ought to be something right where you are. You all right in here?
Yeah.
I'm a college student. Just because you graduate don't make you something.
That's right.
All right? You something in college.
That's right.
You something if you sweep the floor where you are or if you own the floor that's being swept.
All right.
Your identity does not come from what you do. It comes from who you are.
Yes.
Y'all right in here?
Yeah.
All right. So it paints a negative view of authority and God. And it'll have you saying, God is better to others than he is to me. You hear about supernatural stuff that God does. And you say stuff like, that kind of stuff never happens to me. God will be as good to you as you allow him to be. I told this one preacher a story. And I was trying to help build his faith. And I said, man, God blessed us miraculously with this church. A church folded. They went out, and we bought this at an incredible rate, and we've got equity in it. He said, man, I hate you right now. You know how somebody say something, and you know they're joking, but there's a serious tone in there. You're like, ooh, that hurt a little bit. And you got to learn how to hold your testimony back sometime. Because everybody, y'all right in here? He said, that kind of stuff never happens to me. I said, yes, it can. I said, you don't seek after it, you seek vision, and God will send whatever provision that you need.
Yes.
That may not happen, but something will happen for you. But when you have the spirit of poverty, you have a negative view of those who you feel are in authority, and you think God is better to some than he is to you. Another thing is it creates a stingy life. It said because of fear, he went and hid his talent. When you're stingy, you're not generous, you're tight, and you hoard stuff. It's a crippling fear when it comes to tithing, giving, and investing. I'm going to be honest with y'all. I grew up in a church that as soon as we got our minister's license and our elder's license, there was an offering that came along with it. I need every licensed minister. You're going to give me $50 today. I'm 20 years old. $50 will last me 2 weeks. Y'all right in here? So you asking me to give what a man who got a job and a whole family making. I need every ordained elder to give me $100. So I was at a convention. I had no money. Not like that. Took everything I had, you know, just to get there. And I'm going to have to eat afterwards and all that stuff. Had to pay for my hotel room. So you know what I did? When offering time was coming, I saw the program. I went out to the bathroom. I did. And I peeked in the door till offering got through. I was scarred. And I would, man, when preachers would come and they would get through and we'd have a great time, I knew what was coming next. Those of you who are led by the Spirit, I need every person who can to give me that $100. God's going to do something. And they call you up and prophesy you and put you on the hook. Like, man, he done prophesied to me. I got to give him $100. And I was scarred when it came to offering. Yes. I was. I'll just be honest with you. I was scarred. Yes. And finally, God dealt with me one day, and I was given my tithe and my offering. And the Lord said, Jason, look at your seed. He said, there's more where that came from. So you mean to tell me I'm not giving from a diminishing bucket? He said, no. You're giving from a supply that never runs dry. Hallelujah. So here's what I did. If I didn't have it, I wouldn't standing up and giving it. Y'all right in here? Yes. I don't care how much you look. I don't have it. I'm not writing you no bad check, and I'm not getting in line with no blank envelope. All right. I don't have it. Right. You can't give what you do not have. You laughing at me about an offering, but people coming to you all day. Can you do this for me? Can you go there for me? And you hear that everywhere, going in circles. Stop. You don't have the time. Just say no. I ain't Nancy Reagan, but then in the drug campaign, look at your neighbor and say, just say no. That's one of the most anointed words you could say. But the spirit of poverty have you given everything. But watch this. When you understand your seed, you understand I'm going to sow my tithe in faith. Yes. I'm going to trust God for this. Yeah. People ask me all the time, should I pay my electric bill or my tithe? And I said, first, let me clarify, your electric bill is not your tithe. Right. Your tithe is your tithe and your electric bill is your electric bill. Well, what if I don't have my tithe? So, listen, don't be sitting there in the dark. Y'all like, I never heard a preacher say that. Listen, get in faith. And God, I want to sow a seed in faith. Because let me tell you something. If you don't give in faith, it's not going to bring a return. You sow your electric bill in faith. You trust that they're going to keep it on. Y'all right? Am I making sense in here? All right, I'll talk about that another Sunday. But God helped me to get over the fear of giving and stop being stingy. And I used to get nervous and start sweating when offering came. And he said, well, you don't have it. You can't give it. But don't take that away from what you should be giving. All right? The next thing is the spirit of poverty operates by, it creates a wasteful life. He said, because I was afraid I hid my talent. Wasteful, number one, is that principle number one, you give the right thing at the wrong time. You don't give what's yours. You give the overflow of what you have. You give the tithe back to the Lord. And when God blesses you, you sow more. Some people are so nice, you'll give the shirt around off your back, but you walk around naked. Do you see the balance? You give everything you got and you sit there without. Look at them and say, how's that working for you? It isn't. You give the overflow. Man, I got real quiet in here. When you anybody been in a plane before, and they give you the instructions, they say put this the float on the flotation device and grab. I ain't never seen nobody survive a plane crash floating on one of them little seats or them thing. But they tell you anyway. But they say, what do they say when the thing pops down? What do they tell you if you got children? If they put your mask on, you're teaching us to be selfish. Can I tell you something? You can't help nobody dead. I've never seen a dead person help a living person. But I've seen a living person help somebody with the overflow of their life. But I have seen some people who didn't have to give and they were giving. And you could tell it was mountain weighing on their heart because I'm giving everything to everybody and I ain't got nothing. I don't want you there. I want you to give from a healthy place. All right. You right in here? All right. You got it. Or we put money in the wrong place. You give your daycare bill to. Man, I'm about to get my lights cut off. And then you give your daycare bill to somebody. Now you saying don't be nice to people. No, that's not what I'm saying. Right. But you got to designate and give the right things
Ask God to put you in a position to bless people. And when God puts you in a position to bless people and he knows your heart is there, you will always have the blessed people.
Yes.
All right, say, I can't give,
what I don't have.
Wasteful fact number two is you take your talent and you just talk about it, but you never do anything for fear and lazy. He said, you wicked and lazy servant. Why would you call him wicked? He didn't steal it from you. He gave it back to you. Wicked is this. You ask for something and receive it, but don't do nothing with it. Anybody got kids to ask you for something? And you walk 5 minutes later, just sitting there laying on the floor. I mean, you beg me just by a pitch of fit in Walmart. And I'm like, I hope I'm going to choke you in here. And you go on and buy it for them. And you could 5 minutes later, just sitting there laying on the floor.
Yeah.
Now, what I'm not saying is don't have a spirit of generosity, because God wants us to be generous. Because there are some people who can't do for themselves. And some of us can bless them and we should do more. But there are some of us are giving what we do not have, and resentment is setting up in our heart. So wicked is when I don't use properly what God has given me. Wasteful fact number three, you have no concept of the value of money. When you don't have a concept of the value of money, you think people have money and you spend theirs for them. Oh, you got a good job. You can take care of this. And you don't know their bank account. You don't know their bills. You don't know their responsibility.
Yes.
You'll beg your needs and you'll buy your wants. You'll buy a Michael Kors purse, but you'll get in faith for your electric bill. Oh, yeah, I need you to help me out here.
Yeah.
You all right?
Yeah.
Or you have no concept of the value of money because ignorance is passed down from generation to generation. Some stuff ain't generational curses. It's a generational ignorance of how you view money and people with money.
Yes.
All right, let me get where I'm going. How do I break out? Go to my next slide. You got to receive good news. Luke 4:18 says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Jesus said this because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. There, you know what the gospel means? Good news. You know what the good news is to the poor? You don't have to be broke anymore.
Yes.
You may not ever get a jet, but you don't have to struggle every day of your life. You all right?
Yes.
I think there's a balance. There's a gospel out here that just says, believe God, and you're going to have a jet. You're going to walk around in glass slippers and, you know, go on and pave your driveway, go. Jesus got the robes of gold. I mean, you got that? And then on the other side, you're like, no, God don't want us to have all of that. That's what's wrong with the gospel now. Somewhere in between, there has to be a balance of what healthy prosperity looks like.
Yes.
All right? You got to have receive the good news. The second thing, you got to have a proper priority. Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Here's what I always found out. If I seek God first and remain humble, he'll give me everything I need. Here's what I found out. I have never caught anything that I chased. It's like the road runner and Wile E. Coyote. That's what some of us look like, chasing fame. But when I follow God's plan, you'll never have room to receive everything God has for you. Then you got to break the spirit of mammon. I'm doing my time. Matthew 6:24 says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will either hate one and love the other, and he will hold on to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon and money are not the same. Mammon is the love of money. It's like the god of money that you worship. It's the root of all evil. Mammon loves is the love of riches. Poverty is not just the amount of money that you have. It's how you view the money that you have. It's an attitude. The spirit of mammon is an attitude that says, man doesn't need God. We're self-sufficient. And it says, I can trust my salary, I can trust my income, and I'm doing get all the money I can, and it's saying, really, I don't need God. It's the opposite of God's view of money. What's God's view of money? Money multiplies and cannot be devoured when it has a God-ordained mission. Can I say it again? Money multiplies and cannot be devoured when it has a God-ordained mission. It is devoted to serving him rather than trying to replace him. When you devote money to serving God rather than trying to replace God, he multiplies what you have. Mammon's view promises things that only God can give. It promises security, significance, identity, power, and freedom. When I get my bank account to 100 grand, I'm going to be good. What good is it to have 100 grand in the bank and you have no health, no friends, no connections, no nothing? That is not security. Security is knowing who God is and that he's going to give me what I need when I need it. Can anybody testify to the fact that you don't have to be a millionaire to live like one?
Yes.
that God will supply all of your needs, and you don't know where the stuff's coming from, but God will meet every need in your life.
Hallelujah.
Mammon tells this, brothers, it says, if you had more money, you could really start blessing your family. I'd be able to do more for my family if I had more money. Can I tell you, every man in here, the blessing to your family is not your money, it's you. And it's the money that God sends through you. Because you can buy all the toys in the world, but at the end of the day, your son and your daughter can say, I just really want daddy. Y'all right in here? Same thing for mothers. The blessing is not the money you have, it's that I want you. The next thing is this. You got to have a revelation of God's will. We have a warped view of money when it comes to church. Lil Wayne has about 100 grand of gold in his mouth. Do you know who paid for that? Lift your hands if you own a Lil Wayne CD. You did. But when it comes to church, people get so funny. I don't want that preacher riding around in this, but Ted Turner owns an island. Guess where Ted Turner got his money from? Who got cable? You paid it. And he took that with your cable bill that you gave him every month. You got to see money from his right perspective. You got to understand the purpose of money. Are y'all ready for this? Y'all ready for the purpose of money? I sought God long and hard for this. You ready for the purpose of money? All right, get ready. Write it down. To spend. The purpose of money is to spend. But here's wisdom. You don't spend it all at once.
Right.
Well, God sent it here to spend it. Well, bless God, I'm going to spend every dime I got. How's that working for you? You spend it when you need it, and when you need it. Sometimes God's blessing is not money per se, but it's relationships.
Yes.
Can I ask you a question? How are you spending the relationships that you have? You all right in here? Because some of us not just broke financially, we're broke relationally. Here's a lie. We equate spirituality with poverty. Not so. God does not get blessing. Some people take a vow of poverty. That's their vow with God. But God doesn't get blessed by you not being able to pay your bills. By you taking an oath of poverty. It doesn't bless God. All right? God gets blessed when you are good stewards over what you're giving. Don't shoot at me when I say this. Everybody is not an entrepreneur. And everybody is not going to be a millionaire. You don't have a $1 million idea in you. That's not a negative thing. But it's, watch this. But you can live well wherever God sends you.
Hallelujah.
It don't take much to live well these days if you brought your money. Right? You make $60,000, $70,000 a year. You can live well. You can bring money in, have a good living. But we get so caught up and people don't think they're doing anything because I don't have $1 million in the bank. You may never get $1 million. But you can live a blessed life in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
And bless as many people as God sends your way.
Y'all
right in here?
Yes.
Here's what I learned about God. He's good. And his resources are not limited. You are not tapping God out by asking him for anything. God is not unnerved when you say, God bless me. He wants to bless you. What if God is just that good? That he says, I want to give you everything that I have. Here's the thing about God. He's long-suffering and patient. You're not stretching God or bothering God by asking him to do something again. The other day, Isaiah was sitting there, and I poured him something to drink. He thinks he's got to watch TV or something every time he's eating and drinking. And when he was drinking, he was watching his iPad. And next thing I know, just juice everywhere. I looked over, he just grinning. I said, grinning ain't getting this up. Gave him some paper towels. He got it up. And I turned around working at the computer. When I turned around, he had that cup right back there at me. I said, you got the nerve to ask me for something else after you just wasted this? I got the revelation here. God said, Jason, I'm not like that. He said, you can spill it and bring it back to me. He said, because I filled it up for a purpose. I wanted you to drink it. You need to drink to live. Punishing you is not like not filling your cup up again, because you won't live if you don't drink. Can I tell everybody in here, if God has done something before for you, and you feel like you wasted it, don't be afraid to ask him again.
Right.
He gave it to you the first time for a reason, and he'll give it to you. Somebody say, God is good.
Good.
Somebody say it again, God is good.
Good.
And all the time,
God
is good. Go to my last slide. I'm through it. I'm going to pray. How do I stay out of poverty? How do I stay out of poverty? You change your verbal and nonverbal confession.
Let the poor say I'm rich. Let the weak say I'm strong. You make sure your actions are in line with your confession. Now, if you're going to say rich, don't live broke. All right? Look at money, and making money is good. God gives you the ability to get wealth. Here's the best thing I can tell you there. Stay away from get-rich-quick schemes. I mean, and I promise you, you give me this, and in 4 days, you're going to have $1 million. Come on. Stay away from get-rich-quick schemes and find out what inside of you will make you rich, because God said, I'll give you the ability to get wealth. The next thing is this. Establish a covenant of generosity with God. Can I tell you? The person who gives is never without. Yes. Never without. Yes. The person who gives is never without. Stand to your feet all over the building. I want to pray. Can you guys play that softly, Keith? I want to pray for every person who... A couple things. You struggle with fear in your life. You either fear causes you to hide, or fear make you over aggressive. I want to pray for every person who feels like they struggle. It's just one thing after another, and you're ready to break out of this. You don't want to be the cup that can't hold. And here's the thing about it. God has been so good to you, and you feel so bad because, God, I feel like I don't have nothing to show for all that you've done. And you say, I don't ever want to be in that place again. And for every person in here who just needs God, you need a breakthrough in your life, in your heart, and you need some things done in your mind so that you can see forward progress in your life. I want you to come from wherever you are all over this building. And I want you to flood the altar. I want y'all, every person in this room to hear me. God is good. He'll be as good to you as you allow him to be. I don't care what your addiction, your stronghold, your struggle is here. The Spirit of God is present to heal. He's present to deliver and to break everything that pertains to poverty in your life. When you see poverty, you may think of some third world country. That's the lack of resources. The spirit of poverty is when resources are available and you're not accessing them. Father, in the name of Jesus, bow your head. Just slip your hand up. I declare in your life that every leak, every stronghold, every bit of pride, everything that is holding you back from receiving and retaining, be broken now. Every generational curse and generational ignorance, be broken. Some of you, I don't care if you've spilled it, you see the cup example. God wants to do it again. Yes, it. I want you to pour your heart out to God, and I want you to ask him to touch you right now in the name of Jesus. From the crown of their head to the sole of their feet. Break every struggle. Feel the heart right now in the name of Jesus. Touch right now. From the inside out. I don't want another thing if I ain't got you. God, I want your heart. I want to think the way you think. I want to see life from your perspective. I want to live the God kind of life. God, I want to sow into other people's lives. God, I pray that you break the spirit of selfishness in here. That it's all about me and me and mine. God, break it in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Let us discover who we are, but serve the world with our uniqueness. No more struggle. God, you break it in our lives right now in the name of Jesus. God, we bless you right now. God, I thank you that it's done. In the name of Jesus. Father, I bless you for what you're doing. I thank you for things are changing. Things are moving right now in the name of Jesus. Listen, if I've laid my hands on you, I want you to go back to your seat. If I've not laid my hands, I want you to come forward. If I've laid my hands, go back. If I haven't laid my hands, come forward. I feel like God's giving to break something. I feel like there's a healthy perspective of God. Just scroll. If I haven't laid my hands, just scroll this way. I feel there's a healthy perspective of God that's about to happen in the name of Jesus. Receive it now. 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 When I lay my hands on you, go back to your seat. Receive it now. Breakthrough in your house. God, answer your need. I declare breakthrough in your life. In the name of Jesus. 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 Break it right now. You see from God's perspective. You see from God. I need everything at your seat to worship God. In the name of Jesus. Can you just worship? I want you to sing that. Break it. Break it in the name of. All heaven is backing you. All heaven is backing you. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Yes, receive it. Receive it by faith. In the name of Jesus.
Oh,
God, we worship you. You guys, stop for a second. Father, I pray over this house. That this church, the attendees, and the members will be some of the most generous people to walk the planet Earth. God, every resource in heaven, flow it through us. Flow your wealth, flow your healing, flow your love, flow your deliverance, flow your peace, flow your joy through us. We are blessed to be a blessing. Give us wisdom on how to handle what you send. We break every yoke that keeps us in bondage right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We break racial barriers. We break gender barriers. Strongholds be broken right now. Hey, in the name of Jesus. And I declare that it's done. I declare you retain everything God gives you. I declare overflow in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you and bless you right now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Go hug three people and tell them, live in the overflow. Listen, we're speaking about generosity and giving. And this is what we're going to do. November the 16th, we're going to have something called the Big Give. It's going to be on at church here that Sunday. I want you to ask God for what to sow. And I know some of you be 100, 50, maybe it's 10, 20, whatever. But here's what we're going to do with it. We're going to bless 10 people with $400 award for the Christmas season. Two of those are going to be a nonprofit. Eight of those are going to be individuals. Here's the thing. To get it, you have to be a member from BFF has to nominate that person. You can have somebody on your job. You say, listen, I want to be a blessing to them this Christmas season. Send us their story at biggive@bfftn.org. It'll be on the thing that's getting handing out. And I want you to send us their story in. It could be a nonprofit that you think is deserving and say, hey, I think we should bless them. We're going to sow towards that on the 16th. And then we're going to give that to them in December. Hey, you may want to self-nominate and say, listen, I could use it this Christmas season. Tell us your story. We want to bless. We are blessed. Say we are blessed, to be a blessing. So that Sunday, that's what we're going to do. We're going to sow towards that, and we're going to bless somebody's life tremendously. Amen.
You have been listening to a life-changing message from Believers Faith Fellowship in Christiana, Tennessee, where Jason Scales is the pastor. Let us connect with you. Please visit us at bfftn.org. That's bfftn.org. Define your destiny. Develop in your purpose. Discover your potential. Come experience life in 3D at Believers Faith Fellowship.